Hello everyone, thank you for joining another session of Matomo Camp. Today we will learn more on how to get started with intranet analytics in Matomo. The host for this session is Markus, who has been working with web since 1998 and with Matomo for the last 12 years. His experience from public sector includes roles such as lead analyst, senior advisor in GDPR projects, and product owner for Matomo and other analytics products. This session is recorded, but Markus will be available in the chat room and you can drop any questions there.
Hi. Let's begin the session on how to get started with internet analytics in Matomo. This is the contents, the things I will be talking about in this session. I think some of you would agree with me that web analytics is a common bad conscience. In my experience, internet analytics is even worse. I will be dealing with a couple of questions that is good to know to do internet analytics right. For instance, how to regard consent as the legal basis to process the employee's personal data. Why is Matomo a good choice for internet analytics? And then I will guide you through the process of analytics, giving suggestions on how to make good use of Matomo. I will begin with introducing myself. I have been working in the industry since 1998 in different roles. I have been a consultant a couple of times and jumped the fence to work on the customer end as well, in the Swedish public sector mostly. I contributed to get rid of Google Analytics in favor of Matomo, or back then, Fivik, before it was cool. In 2015, at Sweden's largest organization in the public sector, I have been responsible for search analytics, product owner for Matomo, and performing a couple of advisor assignments, such as implementing GDPR compliance and also, curiously enough, artificial intelligence in life science. In my spare time, I have been writing a couple of books on web strategy and web analytics. The latter is used as literature at some of Sweden's universities. Enough about me, let's talk intranets. So what is the definition of an intranet in contrast to an extranet or a public website on the internet? Yeah, this might be both quite tricky and simple, right? Some people include everything connected in a form or another in the term internet. Some don't. I am one of those inclusive people. In my world, the internet includes intranets, extranets, and etc. But when using internet as a term, I think its main attribute is that it's an isolated network. Its users are the organization's own employees, and ideally the internet facilitates the work to be done and making administrative tasks such as leave applications less of a burden compared to its paper equivalent. Regarding an internet's attribute as being inaccessible to non-employees, in Sweden we also have a movement towards open internets when it comes to public sector organizations, making the definitions less logical sometimes, and legal compliance for analytics is not that straightforward. So what makes Matomo especially good at internet analytics? I possibly could ramble over the feats of using Matomo for way too long, but I've chosen two main points. First, to keep internal matters internal. With Matomo, you could actually gather personal data that would be breach of contract with some of the other popular products on the market. My second point is the more legal aspects of compliance, as in not sharing data with unnecessary outsiders, especially those with ties to third country legislation, in essence, United States. If you do, then you have exposed the data to actors you and your employees cannot hold accountable on what happens with that data. It's irresponsible. Also, to gather data on internet use has its own unique legal problems, as I will address shortly. Thirdly, for a smaller organization, it's not that hard to get going. Even without an IT department, you could make use of a web host, since many of them have one-click installers for Matomo. Now I am going to dive into the details. There might be differences in terms of configuration between Matomo Internet Tracking and Matomo for a public website. Technically, if you have another Matomo setup for your internet, you don't really have to worry about the same type of things as with the Matomo reachable from the public internet. The internet is not exposed in the same way. On an internet property in Matomo, you get a more even load, for instance, since the things being tracked is behind a firewall. It is not exposed to refer, spam, or denial of service attacks. Perhaps the most important point is to own your data, being able to use and reuse the data when you see fit. A Swedish term that might be lost in translation is rådighet. It translates to resourcefulness, which is not bad, but it lacks, in my opinion, the comforting and trustworthiness in its Swedish counterpart. Matomo as a product gives you control and sovereignty if you want to. By the way, I am not advocating solely for self-hosting Matomo, but when you don't have to make an effort to look up the processor and the eventual subprocessor of the data in question, what are the rules in terms of privacy when it comes to an internet? The e-privacy regulation in the European Union is not automatically applicable for internets. But if the user is not an employee, then yes. Because sometimes the user of an internet is a journalist, a member of the public, or a non-employee. If you have never heard of European e-privacy regulation, you might have heard of something on the lines of the cookie law. It were introduced in the early 2000s and recently updated. In an EU perspective, all of us got the GDPR dictated and the ifs, hows, and whens of processing personal data. And all form of handling of personal data is considered processing, such as the collection, processing, sharing, etc. The only way we can process personal data is if we have at least one of six of the conditions that apply. That is A to F in this slide. All other cases are not lawful. I worked as a web analytics specialist in Sweden's largest region when we had the GDPR project, and it was really obvious during talks with all our lawyers that consent is not great on a public website, and consent is even less applicable on an internet, since the relation between the employee and the employer is not living up to the voluntary part of the consent requirements stated in the GDPR. A consent is not lawful if it's not freely given, as in there is an option to turn it down. So that dictates if we can ask for consent on an internet. And the other law, the e-privacy regulation, makes asking for cookies look like a consent that might itself be illegal under GDPR if on an internet. For employees, at least. The way to process employees' data, such as IP addresses, for an internet analytics could possibly be lawful through B, the contract between the employee and the employer. This is rather difficult, but worth having in mind when an organization makes up their mind on the Matomo implementation for their internet. The easy way out is to use log analytics to at least not having to consider e-privacy. But data in logs still is regulated by GDPR. And then the default is that any personal data only belongs to the data subject, the person in question. So how to set up an internet analytics with Matomo by yourself in order to have a sandbox to test Matomo for your internet? I am myself playing with Matomo at a local web host when stakes are low. Think of it as playing in a sandbox. For anyone interested in a one-click install of Matomo when having a web host, the package is present in Softaculous, for instance. This is, of course, not suitable for everyone. Well, the time when major design decisions were made based on subjective measures, like someone's personal taste, ought to be behind us. Now you can and should evaluate almost everything based on data. Previously performed tests and the insights gained from working with analytics could be readily available to internet teams. Instead of attending pointless meetings about what shade of blue you like, you can evaluate alternatives based on real user of your internet. Users, through their clicks, provide signals on what works, how they find things, and which routes they take. This talk is about how to get started with the analytics in an initial review of an internet Often no one knows the usefulness of most of the internet content, and there is little effort toward measuring the impact of the internet on the performance of the business, at least beyond noting the number of users. For many teams, the reason is they do not have a training in basic analytics and which all of the statistics to make use of. I hope you want to start evaluating your internet in a structured way and set tangible business goals for measuring what success looks like on the internet. The internet is not just a collection of pages, images, and documents. Rather, it's there to support employees in their daily work, efficiently carrying out work tasks like reserving a place on the training course, filing an application for leave, or finding the phone number of the person in the human resources department. Working with web analytics for an intranet is about improving or simplifying activities like these, activities that the internet should support. Internet analytics is not about accumulating vast amount of data. It is about using the data to gain insights into users' experience of the internet with the intent of improving that experience. It is easy to focus on analyzing the collected traffic data. However, all kinds of tools can contribute to getting an overview of your internet performance and should be included in the concept of internet analytics. Some of these tools are sold as premium plugins for Matomo, such as session recording, but Matomo also evolves. I think it were in version 4.0, the performance report were introduced out of the box. Problems such as not fulfilling accessibility requirements, using unnecessarily high resolution images, and many more may be easy to identify without using statistics, but with Matomo you could develop a plugin to enhance the dashboard with that kind of data as well. A key performance indicator, KPI, sometimes for internet simply called the metric, is a measurable value that demonstrates how effectively business objectives are being attained. Organizations use KPIs to evaluate their success as reaching their targets. There are two fundamental categories of KPIs and metrics, and we need them both to understand the big picture. Quantitative measurements are figures on how the internet is performing, such as all the data about the users as a group we find in Matomo, for instance. These measurements provide answers on how, when, and what about users, what devices they use, when they visit the internet, if they have actively interacted with internet content in any way, where did they come from, and so on. Simply put, behavioral data. Qualitative measures is about how users experience the internet. This data is in the form of text or film rather than numbers. The methods may include an employee survey, guerrilla testing, interviews, usability evaluations, user observation, or features on the site where the user can report what they thought of their experience. In some cases, we observe the user so we can take the opportunity to ask follow-up questions if necessary. Your internet should have a regular ongoing review process, and major review should take place if you are considering an upgrade or change of platform. Reviews are often called content audits, although their conclusions are not restricted to the quality of content. When reviewing the current internet, both quantitative and qualitative measures can be used to find out what is working and what needs to be improved. The basic level of review should enable you to group content into useful pages that have an obvious value to actual users, and all the rest at the best dubious value. When looking through the content, there are some things to consider when deciding which groups the content belongs to. Which parts of your internet support the important activities? This part needs to be analyzed to identify improvement opportunities, optimal placement of buttons, understandable texts, how easy it is to get there, etc. How easy it is to find your way between the different activities. Then consider your navigation structure. Is it easy to find your way back to a starting point if you got a direct link by email? Is it easy to switch between tasks? Is it easy to switch from applying for vacation to the task to correct an improperly filed holiday application? How easy is it for users to complete an activity? Just like a store's survival is conditional on customers' ability to pay for the goods, you need to make sure there are as few obstacles as possible on your internet in order for users to complete an activity. What defines a successful session on the internet? What activities must have occurred for you to be able to objectively refer to a user's session on the internet as a successful visit? Is it enough that the user fills out their timesheet, or maybe that they land on homepage, read some internal news, and then disappear? Think carefully about which behavior indicates a successful visit. Content that does not relate to these points is often distracting, and it should probably be removed, or at least be hidden out of sight and not indexed by your search engine. Please do define requirements for new pages to include a clearly displayed call to action and have an explicit connection to the goals for the internet. And talking about call to actions, I just mentioned it. This is the definition of the term. Often a CTA is a button or any other interactive design element that is enabling the user to take the next logical step towards a conversion on a goal. This process is what the rest of my talk will discuss. For analytics to be meaningful, you need to first define what is good. Good content, successful task accomplishment, good quality, and what is good for business. These are the things that are worth analyzing. Otherwise, the risk is that you are working to improve things that lack the prospect of worthwhile improvement. The working process for internet analytics is as follows. You start at the upper left of this never-ending loop. First, develop business goals or evaluate existing business goals. Then you produce reports and develop methods for analyzing KPIs and selecting metrics. Thirdly, you analyze. And fourthly, improve the internet based on any findings in the analysis. And then you iterate. This is not the project. Start by developing the business goal, and you're never done. Begin the second iteration with reflection of the measurability of the business goals that can be improved on another iteration of the process. Now it's time to go through each step in this working process and examine what is worth thinking about. Last year, it's pretty mind-boggling that only 34% of internet managers, according to Web Service Awards, still had no clear objective for their internet. A clear majority also say that they have no defined objectives for any of the internet's subpages. Obviously, it's difficult to know how useful the internet is if you do not know what it's supposed to achieve or how to measure it. The very first step of internet analytics is to set down a list of goals. You should avoid vaguely worded wishes such as enable findability or keep employees informed with news. Instead, try to stick with concrete activities and tasks employees need to be able to do to get their job done and bring value to the business. Good examples of these include reporting time at work, updating skills profile, or submitting requests for absence. Management documents such as the organization's vision, plans, and the budget often provide already defined objectives, KPIs, that can be reused or adapted as measures for your internet. Break down each goal to something that can be isolated and measured as part of the user experience of the internet. A challenge may be to align the measurable business objectives with the long-term objectives. It is important to try to anticipate the long-term consequences of the goals we define in order to avoid negative side effects. In addition to the business objectives, it can be beneficial to review other metrics, such as the number of page views per visit. They may tell the backstory of why the objectives performed the way they did. However, most generic metrics struggle to prove what value they indicate. Is the result unequivocally good or bad? These are not where you should put most of your effort. Instead, they help you investigate things afterwards and gather data, helping you to tell the story of the users when you are reporting. The amount of page views, unique users, sessions, and similar does not provide any evidence of increased business performance. These may be nice anecdotes between internet geeks, but they provide very little insight in which way the internet is successful. Instead, they make for personal glorifications and a good gut feeling, but not great business. Another term is segmentation. It is a feature of Matomo, and you find it at the toolbar in the top of the user interface. A segmentation is a group or a subset of users that have some attribute in common. It may be that they all use a specific type of device. It can be their geographical location or whatever Matomo has gathered as common data points for them. Segments are often overlooked, so I will take some time to pitch its use to you. But before I go into even more on segmentation, we have a fundamental term to discuss, click-through rate, or CTR for short. CTR is the share of users that do a specific thing, such as that, for instance, 73% of users click on one of the featured articles on the front page. If you have a low CTR, that indicates the need to improve the usability of the place where many users disappear. Or perhaps they get cold feet because of some poor design decision you need to improve. Think about the goal that at least 90% should succeed with submitting their application of leave. If 25% of them drop out at the very first step in the process, then we have to try to figure out what caused it, or possibly set a more reasonable goal we are actually able to achieve. It is particularly interesting to create a segment of users to find out when we are failing the users. The segment, those who do not complete all the steps in the conversion funnel, might reveal some interesting pattern. Sometimes you are able to alleviate. Are there any common denominators where the users fail or flee? Where do they go? Is there possibly an indistinct call to action that users do not understand, see, or discover? The conversion funnel does not require many steps to be suitable as a visualization. It might be obvious in itself presenting the results to internal stakeholders. A simple use case for a conversion funnel can be to show the amount of users of the search engine that actually click on any of the results, how many times they rephrase the search terms, and how big the drop-off is. It could be one of several means to evaluate whether an enhanced relevance model for the search engine has been an improvement according to its users. A conversion funnel is not limited to the internet. It could very well be the measure of impact of a newsletter by email or even something in the real world. One thing is certain though, do not report data or specific numbers, so-called data puking. It ought to be the last option to try out on stakeholders. Very few are interested in data alone. Even fewer actually understand the data. You are supposed to tell them the story of the data and visualize the impact. Conversion funnels are in a way the opposite of data puking, since it's in a visual way, telling a story, reminding you to explain where the users end up and your hypothesis on why. Back to segments. Here I'll make some suggestions on segments in Matomo for internets for you to think about. A feature of Matomo that, at least in my experience, many seem to overlook is to compare two segments against each other. My first suggestion is such a comparison. Depending on the content of your internet, there might be a use case for a segment singling out users with the management position. This is something you can inform Matomo about using the custom dimension feature directly from the code of your internet. So what is the point? Well, if you have content on the internet aiming towards users within management, the obvious question is if that content is used by its intended audience, right? This is how you get to figure that out. Other suggestions on segments is the user's organizational affiliation, since it can be relevant as a context when looking at conversions on the internet. For instance, if a part of the organization is unexpectedly underperforming on some of the internet goals, you have a deviation to investigate further. Another suggestion is to segment on different geographic locations, or perhaps different office buildings in the same city or floors in the same building. So how exactly is custom segments done in Matomo? One way is to let the internet feed the info to Matomo through the front-end code to end up in a custom dimension. An internet usually has integration to the local directory of employees, who is logged on, the actual computer, and where do they work in the organization. That might make the cut for a custom dimension, since they ought not to be of temporary nature or a triviality for a few involved. But there might also be possibilities to track signals for segments using Matomo's event tracking. The upside with the Matomo's way of having segment as inclusive filters is that if a user session consists of an event signal of your choice, they are segment compatible. And you can see this slide as a critique on the sometimes oversimplistic views on segments, personas, and other ways of describing our users. Another difficulty is which potentially crucial details are hidden behind the persona or target group we have. Here we have an illustrative example some of you may have seen previously. It is a criticism of personas as a concept, that is, that you create a fictional person who is named and assigned a number of characteristics. But criticism is useful in many contexts. I have put together a persona I call Wealthy William. He is rich, has children, is British, homeowner, etc. The description fits both the, until recently, Prince Charles and Ozzy Osbourne, two quite different people. One of them lived 70 years of his life as a literal prince. The other one is a prince of sorts, the prince of darkness, perhaps. One had fried sparrows flying into his mouth since birth. The other has literally bitten the necks of bats on concert stages, so the blood spurted. One is the very definition of upper class, the other began his life in total social vulnerability. What unites Ozzy and the now King Charles may actually be irrelevant, but they have very different life experiences. And if you were to design a communication campaign and are aware that these two groups exist within your target group, yes, I suppose you will see the challenge in how the appeal is, how flexible these two people are to act on your call to action. There are two things you can take away from this discussion, though. One is that personas should not be about demographic data such as income, marital status, etc. Rather, it is the person's problem to solve and their challenges, because that's where you become relevant with whatever matching offer or service you have. The second one is to dig deeper. Otherwise, you may miss details that are possibly relevant. So I leave it up to you and the internet managers to figure out if a management position is a relevant segment where you work, or if it's just another Wealthy William case. Segments help you not to get lost in all the averages and aggregates you encounter in Matomo. A made-up illustration is now in this image, showing that the fact that the average user, the gray circle in the middle, has 10 page views per visit might not be that insightful if actual users typically split into two groups with either one page view or 20. Segmentation is important because of the risks of looking at average values. Average values are sometimes not representative for a majority of users. An average value is meaningful only if the data is in a normal distribution, meaning that the average value has relatively few surprising deviations. This is an illustration of a normal distribution. most data is predictably similar to the average value. Not all things we are interested in is distributed this way, just as the made-up example of average value 10 page views per visit is not that meaningful a value. Sometimes the average does not describe the reality. More interesting is the observation that there are at least two very different groups in these data. To get clarity around what groups you need to inspect, you use segmentation to divide the data into different groups that can be explored separately. The idea is to filter out a subset of the users, see how they perform, and if they stand out in some way. Segmentation is done to be aware of differences in how each segment behaves depending on where they are located, their profession, which subpages they visit, and so forth. When reviewing your internet using analytics, it is a good idea to focus on few segments per repetition of the analysis. One segment could be to filter out users who only have a single page view and inspect where those user sessions are taking place. Another segment could be to watch the behavior among those who use the internet on a daily basis. What differentiates them from monthly users, for instance? Yet another segment may be to look at those who repeatedly only make a single page view. Looking at these different usage patterns could lead to some significant improvement actions. If, for example, you conclude that from your analysis that the single page viewers segment have simply given up on the internet, a targeted campaign could be implemented, aiming at figuring out a way of convincing them to try out some new features. As mentioned previously, average values do not always provide a particularly accurate picture of reality or actionable insights. The majority of users may have few usability issues. The aim of segmentation is to reveal the portion of users within the whole who have problems. With internet analytics, you can simultaneously manage several user groups in a structured way. Examples of business and operational goals measurable on an intranet. Content published on the internet needs to align with business goals and the intentions we have for the internet. It is not nearly enough to assert a public interest or to continue treating the internet as an information dump just because some of us like to produce content. I have set out some examples of business goals for the internet, such as that at least 90% of those who begin the process to apply for leave through the internet have to succeed. Otherwise, they are wasting their time. And perhaps you could have efficiency metrics such as employees should easily find their contacts within the human resources or finance department whenever needed. That is very much a task to be done thing for an internet. And as you notice, these examples of business goals are not limited by what statistics are captured automatically in Matomo. To measure real business goals, you have to work both with quantitative metrics, those you would ease gather in Matomo, and qualitative metrics such as users' subjective opinions. Depending on the business goal, you might also need to look at other systems than Matomo. Regarding accessibility and a measurable way to evaluate it, the design should probably adhere to accessibility guidelines. One such guideline is VCAG 2.2 at level AA, which is the European Union. In the European Union is a mandatory regulation since 2 years ago, I think, at least for the public sector. So step 2 out of 4, if you mention internet, you probably have access to some standard reporting tools. I would also guess that tool might be Matomo since you attend this conference or that you are considering Matomo in the future. In order to monitor how well the internet delivers on goals and metrics, we need to gather appropriate data using these tools. It's almost certainly necessary to tune your reporting tool so that your reports actually measure your business goals. When you need adjustments or variations of your standard reports in Matomo, you can consider premium plugin custom reports. In my experience, that plugin is a lifesaver. It can give you customized reports, filter data, and answer metric questions without the need to over and over again looking at multiple other reports. It is good to collect data that tells the story about the goal so that we learn why something performed better, not only that it actually did. It may prove useful to work with a web developer until you have gained some knowledge of the systems involved. A large part of the benefit of working with the reports and methods is the learning process. Working with the system itself to get to know the user's behaviors and needs is something that makes each iteration of this work begin on a new and higher level. There are a number of widely used techniques, methods, and templates you can use to improve how your reports are designed, and I will go through some of these now. First off is the conversion funnel, also premium plugin. This is funnel visualization. It shows that no one followed the desired path from the landing page, the one at the top. This funnel has that first step as optional, and we can see in the middle that users coming in the funnel on that level converts at 25% rate towards the goal called signed up. A funnel like this indicates room for improvement. Probably we are distracting the users with more tempting content, or in this case, the landing page is not optimized as pushing users down the funnel. A conversion is when a user action results in a measurable contribution towards a business goal. For instance, signing up for the corporate newsletter, or being successful in some self-service process at the internet. Probably the most common method to visualize a multi-step process is to use the conversion funnel. It is particularly well suited to visualize where users fail in a process with several stages. You define the starting point and then measure the click-through rate on each part. That is, how many users you lose on the road towards the goal. All objectives cannot be measured by using the collected data, the already collected data in Matomo, but some do, depending on your implementation. It is not solely about users' click and their behavior. We need to evaluate other forms of quality indicators. This is a list of quality indicators, and not drawn from statistics tools, that a communications department can use to measure quality. Things like to list heavy images that are slow to load, especially for mobile users, find duplicate content, documents called something inappropriate, such as new Word document, has no title at all, or other common mistakes that make it difficult to find the content on the internet, or that content lack crucial metadata like page description or keywords to help the internal search engine. Talking about search, an easy test you can perform on your own internet is to search for what's not supposed to give any results. As in the illustration here, when I search for Microsoft Word, which ends up being the document title if a user is fumbling. Where I used to work until recently, we have about 1 million pages and documents in our search index. With the help of the search engine, you can, behind the scenes, compile a lot of interesting statistics, at least if you consider the search feature just as any other user interface to analyze. For instance, we could see from search robot statistics that 89% of the internet lacks keywords. In other words, 9 out of 10 pages and documents are not really competing in the battle to reach the top of the internal search engine, then it's no wonder that the search engine has a hard time figuring out what is the most relevant content to some search queries. Most internets do have some sort of search feature. At the very least, you ought to try to learn what keywords or phrases the users use. An extremely actionable thing is if you also track searches that return no result, zero hits. If a search phrase is reasonable, then it should have a result. You might have issues with synonyms or that perhaps vital content is lacking. You could also consider to track the click behavior in the search result. There is an expected distribution on how much clicks the first entry would get, the second would get about half of that, etc. And perhaps you would track clicks that are not the top three in the results, or that an entry got twice as much clicks than is expected for its ranking in the results, etc., etc. And I highly recommend Louis Rosenfeld's book called Search Analytics for Your Site if you are curious about a method to evaluate search features and ranking. The next step is, of course, to look at, compare, and analyze all the data you have gathered. The objective of the analysis phase is to understand why users behave in a certain way or think the way they do. This is where you identify the obstacles that prevent users from carrying out activities and what you can do to remove the obstacles, improve efficiency, conversion, and usability. The first thing you need to consider in your analytics is whether you have enough data to draw conclusions. Even if you find that you have too little data to draw large and far-reaching conclusions, your data can suggest how you can transition the test to a larger scale. And please don't get stuck in this phase. It's easy to find that you have spent more time analyzing than actually improving the internet. And you should also be aware of any seasonal variations that can affect the results of your review. There are peak times during the year for specific content and support for used on the internet. For example, it's common for people to forget their passwords over the summer holidays. So demand for replacement passwords peaks when people return to work. This is an example of how to use your internet analytics to support the priorities of the editorial work on the internet. If people have extraordinary difficulties remembering their passwords at the end of holiday season, then it's probably efficient to introduce some well-placed support information on how to act when one has forgotten one's password. And you should, I think, document the analytic efforts and findings. And based on the data you collected, processed, and analyzed, you document the findings and lessons learned. And you may choose to introduce your conclusions by stating the level of confidence you have in the analytics. This is wise, especially if major decisions are likely to be taken on the basis of your analysis. Nothing wrong with being humble, I think. This is not an exact science after all. So keep a log for future reference, writing down which methods were used for each test, etc. And also note what needs improvement and require another iteration through the entire analysis process. It is not unusual that you cannot find conclusive proof to make the case for one option or the other. And the last step in this process is to make improvements. Based on the evaluated hypothesis and the conclusions drawn from the analysis phase, you make a list of prioritized improvements, the improvements you think will matter most. It is not always easy to make those judgments. Some efforts may have minor impact while being an easy task, and other tasks can be complex because they have external dependencies. No matter what, now at least you have a list of things to do and stuff you know is going to improve the user experience. An example of a task in the improvement phase is to rearrange the positions of buttons to enhance usability, something perhaps only beneficial for the user segment with smaller screens. And after making your improvements, it's time for another iteration of the process. Internet analytics is not a project and it's never finished. The usefulness of each iteration of the analysis is that you get the chance to look critically at objectives, goals, and metrics to see if you think they still prove useful. Most likely, over time, you will revise, supplement, and clarify them. And that's it. To sum things up, I hope you got some great takeaways from this talk. And to repeat the most important points, I would like to pick these four. Try to set some measurable goals with your internet. It makes using Matomo more self-explanatory since you have conversions to indicate something of value inside of Matomo. Don't do internet statistics, do analytics. And that entails looking for actionable insights. You should use both qualitative and quantitative methods. They complement each other. Don't measure activity, focus on results. Good luck. And a consoling thought is that most other organizations also seem to suck at internet analytics. Let's do better. Any questions? Then you find me in the conference chat room. If you like, you could also email me. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you everyone for joining this session. As Marcus mentioned, you can continue the conversation in the chat if you have further questions. I also wanted to let you know that the next round of sessions will start at 1 p.m. after the lunch break. So we hope to see you then.